Satsang with Maitreya, November 10th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Vishnu Maitreya's Cyber Church and room. We will be discussing the mission and the revelation of the unification of all religions that God has sent to humanity. He has already fulfilled all the promises and all the revelation that He has given to humanity to this point. And this is the end time, this time of the unification, and bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. As He has promised, He will unify all religions together and send to every human the new revelation that explains the teachings and what God has been doing for the last 12,000 years. Our teaching explains the creation and history. Creation started with the imbalance in the universe or God consciousness. And after this imbalance, there was chaos in the universe that God wanted to bring back to the harmony, unity, and oneness in God's consciousness. And that is when He sent His Spirit to the world, and the Spirit went through the eternal divine path that we will explain, and He came back to God, and that is when God said, and there was light. So God saw that the light was good, that the eternal divine path leads to the oneness with God and return to the consciousness and the unity and harmony and the state of Venus. And that path became the path of every being that have to go through to return to God. And that path is known to the first being that God created in the state of darkness that the universe was in. It was very hard to help the human consciousness to reach true consciousness or return to God. That is why He created the creation. And the creation started with material world, the five elements in the universe, the ether, the air, the fire, the liquid factor and the solid factor. So the whole universe has five elements of the solid factor, liquid, fire, air, and ether. And everything is being created from these elements. And God created everything from His own body. That's what God is. God cannot go to the, you know, the convenience store at the end of the road and say, I'm going to buy this thing and create something. So He had to use the material He had, which is His body, and create the universe. That is why God is everything. That is why you cannot separate any part of God from the another part. If you say this part is good and this part is not good, then you are separating God, which is everything, and you're creating a delusion of separation. And if you are in the delusion of separation, then you create different religions, different dogmas, different ways to separate man from man, human from human, and the universe from the universe. But if you see that God is everything, then you realize that how can I be different than another person, you know, or how can this religion, you know, separate itself from another religion, or if people can separate themselves from other people, because you can see God is everything, and the illusion of separation will be shattered completely, and you see that you are a part of the same thing. Therefore, God created the universe, and eventually He created man. Man was in the image of God. He was male and female, and he had the consciousness and the ability to return to God and become one for His true consciousness. Of course, there are many except in the evolutionary process happened, you know, we know that the man failed, God told him, if you do this thing and this thing and this thing, you will be happy and you reach good consciousness. And if you don't do them and become self-centered and selfish and your ego comes in, you will fall. Of course, as in this explained in the book of Genesis, you know, they fell. They did not follow God's law. They did not follow what God told them not to do. And that is symbolized with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's when man says, I know what is good for me. I know what is good, and God, you know, what is good and what is evil. And they stop listening to his words and the scripture and say, okay, God created me, and who knows, just like a mechanic or a designer of a car. If a designer knows exactly what is in the engine and what will hurt the engine and what will help the engine and all that, that's why they recommend you change your oil once in a while. And then you say, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. I know better than the mechanic. You know how the engine works, and you might ruin your engine. And that's what exactly God did. God sent the laws to humanity and said, if you follow this thing, you're going to be happy and reach higher consciousness and higher consciousness. If you don't, of course, you will suffer. This evolutionary process continued until man became, at 12,000 years ago, we have a man that we know now. We have two eyes, our third eyes are closed, and what we see is external world, and we take it as a truth. But a greater truth in a spirit that the two eyes cannot see. And that is why we recommend that human start worshipping God in a spirit, worshipping God in a meditation, and realizing that you have to go to God directly by yourself. You cannot rely on a preacher, you cannot rely on a father, or mullah, or lama, or anything. God has given you the ability to go to Him directly and recognize Him. And that's what the Mishnah Maharaj does. He directs you to God. I'm not here to be worshipped. I'm not here to, you know, you bow down in front of me and worship me. If you do that, then I become an obstacle in your way to God. If you worship your prophet, if you worship your Messiah, if you worship your anybody, if you worship your guru, or you worship anybody else but God, then he or she is in your way. Okay? Go to God directly, and the way to go to Him directly, of course, is our teachings, the scripture. It teaches you how to follow eternal divine path, and when you follow eternal divine path, you will reach God. And of course, after 2,000 years ago, after the new man was created, God gave the first prophet, which was Noah, the teaching of the awakening of the spiritual forces, which is the mystical path, which eventually branched to Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystic Christianity, Sufis, and many, many other mystical paths that are all over the world. The base of their teaching is, be a seal and know that I am God. Know thyself to know God. It means to meditate, to realize who you are, your weaknesses, your strength, your physicality, your fear, your attachments, your belief in a religion, in the stuff of the truth. And all those things is to awaken your forces and realize that, you know, that you cannot believe in anything anybody says or teaches you, but to search, not, and find the truth. If you really search, if you really ask questions of what really God, you know, meant to create this creation, the door will be open to you and it will reveal to you, and not with the revelation of the holiest of the holies. This possibility, even in a greater degree, is available to humanity, Because only now the mystery of God has finished, and by you understanding our teachings, you will understand your religion even in a greater degree, and you will realize where your beliefs fall in the plan of God. And then, of course, you open yourself to other religions, expand yourself, and realize you cannot separate yourself from anybody else or anybody from anybody else. Because God is everything, and even all religion is sent to humanity by God. So the first step in the eternal divine path is awakening your spiritual forces, meditating, understanding yourself, be still, and know that God, that God is within you, is in, as Christ said. There's going to be a time that you will worship God in spirit. Not in Jerusalem, not in mosque, not in a church or synagogue, but in a spirit which is within yourself. And you have to go within yourself and see, you know, the spirit which is God, and is one with Him. Therefore, that is the first step. And some religions say that is the last step. You just meditate and you reach to consciousness, or you become one with God, or you reach Nirvana, and that's it. So it is, you don't have to worry about anybody else but yourself. But of course, God in the Bible clearly says that is not true. And if you do that, as in Revelation it says in chapter 3, He will screw you out of His mouth. It means that you will descend here again and again until you learn the eternal divine path, which is the second step in the eternal divine path, is the creation of the communities of life. Therefore, you meditate, you try to understand yourself, to mystically, you know, progress, but that is not the end of it. You then have to direct that energy to spread this message to every human. That's why we say every human at least should listen or hear this message once, and that's why I repeat it every time in, you know, my satsang in Saturday. Because there are new people, they should hear it. And then you try to create comments of kindness of light based on the six couples in a community, and these become 12 of such a unit becomes the second level, and 12 of the 12 2,000 people become one community of life. And community of life is the people who come together to follow the eternal divine path. Now you want to create a community. Now what's the next step? Okay, if you, of course, the community of life, if you study the Old Testament in the Bible, the whole theme of the Old Testament is God wants to choose a people as His people, and they will accept God as their king, and they become the children of God, or children of life, or the Israelites. Okay, Israelites, of course, the children of God, or the elected ones, we will explain who they are. So the whole Old Testament is God trying to create, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, which is the community, the community of life. God wants to create from the flight. Of course, you know, that was not the end of it, because, you know, those communities, you know, God said, you know, that when the Shiloh comes, the period for the Old Testament after, and the children of Israel is going to be finished. And the next prophet who came was, of course, Christ. Christ was prophesied to come, and He came to set up the third part of the eternal divine path. And that is sacrifice. In order to create the communities of life, you can't say, what is it in for me, what is it in for me all the time. If you say that, it's impossible to create the communities of life. That is why sacrifice is necessary. Sacrifice means not being self-centered. It means to live in a community of life and put the well-being of the community ahead of your own self-interest. And of course, community in return will help you to have your physiological and safety needs provided, and help you to meditate and know thyself. This is the first step. Then you direct in a greater degree even energy toward the comings of life, and you sacrifice more. Now, if you sacrifice, of course, sacrifice was the teaching of Christ, but Christ came to put the example of, you know, He went all the way to the cross for His ideal and did not hesitate. Well, He hesitated a little bit, but He did eventually accept God's will and went all the way to the cross. And that is the symbol of the price that put for humanity. Of course, it leads on to the grace. So, the third step in the eternal divine life is sacrifice. And that is related to the Christianity and Christ. And now, if you sacrifice for a long time and nothing happens, what happens? You become very depressed and say, well, I'm doing so much effort, I've been giving satsang for 20 years, and you know, very few really understand what I'm talking about. And then, of course, you know, if you then become depressed, if you start putting some effort and the people start protesting and tons of blood popping up all over the world, and then you say, wow, look at me, I'm the greatest thing ever happened in humanity, and you know, and you become a big ego that, oh, this is you who are doing this. That is what the fourth step in the eternal divine path means, that is surrendering the result of your action to God. That means, I do my best, I give the satsang, I give the teaching, I give this mission to humanity. The result is God, it's not my mission. I didn't know I'm going to receive such a wonderful revelation and I brought it to humanity. I was just having, you know, like everybody else, you know, living like a regular life, and suddenly God says, here, this is this revelation given to humanity. And it made so much sense to me. Before anything, nothing made sense as much as this did. And that's why I love this mission, because it makes so much sense. Okay, if you have the smallest, you know, light in you, you will see great thing in the mission. Therefore, the fourth step is to surrender the result to God. Say, okay, I did all this thing. If the result is not good, probably I'm not doing something right. I examine myself and I try to better. If it starts happening, then I say, God, thank you. The result is yours. I'm not attached to it. So I'll go ahead and continue with the mission. Of course, later on, of course, you know, you will realize that even greater than surrendering is submission. That means you always let God do the things through you. I'm not giving the satsang, God is giving the satsang. It's just, I'm just a vessel here letting Him come through. Okay? Therefore, if I'm not doing anything, how can I be attached to the result of my action so I am free? So you can see that that is, of course, absolutely related to the Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, which means to be surrendered and submit to God. So with this, you completely, you know, eliminate any depression or any feeling of superiority, and God is doing everything through you. You are free. You do your best, and then with give the thing to God, or let God come to you. Of course, God, if God comes through you completely, you will do the perfect job. Okay? Because God is perfect. Okay? If you say, oh, I'm doing all these things, it's not perfect, but I'm letting God come through you, you better, you know, think a little more deeper about how much really are you letting God come through. If God is perfect, if you let God really, really come through, you will do the perfect job. If it's not perfect, then back off and meditate and say, okay, I should probably think about this a little more. Maybe I'm not completely letting God come through. And then, of course, also examine your you know, actions and to see where you go wrong, and you become more and more perfect. But God is perfect. Therefore, you know, when you let God come through, if you are forgiven for what you have done before, to this point. Then you get to the mission, all your sins are forgiven. From now on, you have to progress. So, don't hang up into what the bad you did before. It's okay, you can forget about those and say, God has forgiven me. But from now on, of course, you will let God come through and you try to become perfect as Christ said. Be perfect as the Father in heaven. And that is, if you let God come through, you will be perfect. Of course, if you really, really let God come through you, you and the Father are one. God is absolutely coming through, and therefore that is the highest spiritual realization, because that is the goal, to become one with God. Of course, with all these things you do, still you might be attached to a small part of the universe, to your culture, to your gender, to your into earth. Okay, the next step, become a universalist and say, no, I belong to the universe. I I am a person, my home is universe, my father and mother are God, and everything else in it are my brothers and sisters, and a struggling beings to reach higher consciousness. Therefore, with that, you also shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and you become completely free of any narrowness that might exist in you or in your life or your mind or your spirit, and you become free to become a universalist and shatter all those things. So this is the five step of the eternal divine path. Awakening of the spiritual forces, the first seal, creation of the comings of light, is to begin to direct any energy or realization you gain toward the creation of these communities. Sacrifice means not being self-centered, but being community-centered. Surrender and submission to God means to surrender the result to God, or even greater than that, let God come through, and you become a universalist. With this five step, you will shatter all pitfalls in the spiritual path, and you will become an elect. That is what the elect means. That is what really the children of Israel means. That is, the children of Israel means the children of light. People who follow the five steps, they become the children of light, and they become the elect, which is the sixth seal, and these are the ones that we are looking for, and they will help the humanity to reach higher consciousness and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is based on the comings of light. And that last seal is this unification and coming of the kingdom, and the opening of the seventh seal, which is the mission of Maitreya, and you are here to learn from them. Go to the website, read about it, know about it more. Go ahead, Moen.
You preach unification of all the religions.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you just now mentioned that you can go to the God directly. It means we don't need to follow the theory of unification of any religion, or what do you mean exactly?
Okay, I understand the question that you're saying, because I said you can go directly to God. You don't need to come to me to be unified. You don't need to come to me to be unified, but I am a coordinator in the process of unification. So it's a kind of a, also you don't have to come to me to be unified, but I have the first fruit of this revelation, and I know the best how it can be implemented and eventually manifested. Therefore, in a practical part of it, probably if it needs some coordination and organization, we have already given humanity how it can be done and will be done. And in that organization, the head of the organization called the elders, and we are going to be having a facilitating Gandhi in the beginning, until the whole hierarchy will emerge from the very bottom of the society or the people. Actually, this is the first time really the saying of the people, from the people, by the people, for the people, this organization will be that. But until that system is implemented completely, I probably will direct the facilitating body to create that hierarchy from the bottom of the society. So in that sense, I'm leader. Okay? But in the sense of going to God, probably you should read though, and you should listen to the satsang, and when I say, when I am in a spirit, is the word of God. And so you should follow it. So you cannot just go by yourself. It's just like you want to become a doctor in chemistry, but you say, oh, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm not going to go to the kindergarten. I'm not going to go to the first grade and second grade and get my diploma and go to the university in a bachelor degree and master degree and get my doctorate. I'm going to do it by myself. You might make it. You might. But the possibility of you become a doctor of chemistry by yourself is very slim. That's why God sent these teachers, this revelation to humanity, to tell them what is the guide, what is the way to go there. So by yourself, you probably get lost in somewhere in the path, but by listening to Go and by listening to the revelations came to you. But if Go doesn't make sense, if I don't make sense, if I say something is not based on God's revelation and thing, you should not accept it. Okay? And, but everything we say here, everything in our teaching is based on the God word, and therefore it is the God word, and you should listen. So, in answering your question, unification, mission is the package. You cannot just say, well, I like the teaching, why don't I like the teacher? Or you say, oh, I like the teacher, but I don't like the teaching. You know, or, okay, I just part this part of it, I don't like the other part. It's the whole package come together, which you have to follow and understand, but I don't want you worship me. I don't want you lose your common sense because you are so wrapped up in me and they start worshiping me just like those gurus that they have in India or the father or brothers in Christianity or mullahs in Islam or rabbis in, they have become an obstacle in the way of people to go to God. They are telling people what to do and what is the truth, and the people take them as the truth and they do not search for themselves to find the truth. Therefore, I don't want you to worship me, but you have to realize when what I brought is the truth, makes sense, follow them, and if you want, of course, you respect me because, you know, God had chosen this vessel to come through. Not respect me as a person, as a body, but the spirit behind it, the spirit that has sent this to you. So it is, if you do not respect God, you cannot understand Him either. Okay, Harold, go ahead.
I noticed that you are using the word God. What do you mean by God? Did you experience God? And how the content of the website www.maitreya.org could help anyone to know God?
Okay, the concept of God is the creator or the generator, operator, and destroyer. That is what God is. The concept of God is the pure consciousness, the consciousness that in everything. The concept of God is the consciousness and the three gunas, tama, raja, and sattva, which everything has created from, and has the consciousness, which is the father, and the creative force or property, which is the mother. And that is why God is Father, Mother, God. And He is everything, and He has created everything, and is the witness entity in the universe. And therefore, He is God, because He created it. But me and you also can become in the image of God, but we have not created anything. Therefore, the concept of God is very vast. It's something the only way you can know it is by experience, direct experience. People have been trying to explain God for thousands of years, but they have not succeeded because, you know, the concept is, you know, beyond human mind and beyond human words. It is something has to be experienced before you can say, oh, that's what they meant by God. He's infinite. He's endless. He's everything. He's everywhere. So that is the concept that we refer to, unexplainable, but at the same time explainable because it is everything. So that concept is the concept of God. Go ahead, Pirate.
That means you did not experience the spirit of God, right? So what all the religions is that failed to explain God. So how can you, after combining all the religions, how can you experience God?
No, I did not say that I did not experience God. I said it is not explainable. Even those who experience God cannot explain it because it's unexplainable. The only way you can know and be sure is the direct experience that you have yourself. If you haven't experienced it, you don't know. But if you experience it, you cannot come and say, I can explain it. Okay? It is unexplainable. It is the state of consciousness. It is something beyond human mind. Mind is a creation. It still is a creation. God is just. God just is. That's why anything you put in front of Him, it becomes it. His compassion, His love, His also destruction. Okay? If something had to be replaced, He had to destroy the old one and replace it with the new. Therefore, you know, as I said, experiencing God is different than being able to explain it. Go ahead, Eloise. First of all, His name never was Jesus. There is no J in Hebrew. And you are saved by His name, which is not utterable in this external world. And also, every prophet who comes, he says the same thing. You can go only to the Father through Me, and without Me you will not be able to go to God. That is what Christ said, that's what Krishna said, that's what Muhammad said, that's what every prophet said, and that's what we say here. You cannot go through God but by understanding our teaching. What do they mean when Prophet Muhammad says, when God says to Muhammad, listen to My prophet, what he says are My word, means you cannot come to Me but through what Prophet Muhammad says. All of them are saying really is, you have to understand the message, you have to understand the teaching, you have to understand Christ and what He taught. Not just you go Christ by saying, oh, Jesus, this is not Your name, you're going to go there. No, you have to understand what He taught, what He came for. He came here for a mission, for a reason. He has a message. And no one can understand any of the message of any of the religions came to humanity to this point until they understand our teaching, which unify them and explain them. Therefore, you know, no Christian, no Jews, no Hindus, no Buddhists, no Muslim, none of them have the truth until the seven angels come. And everybody who have anything that they think believe in it is just a very small portion of the greater truth, which is the greatest sign and the eternal divine path. And the only way you can understand your religion and other religion is through our teachings. That's exactly what we are saying here. As said before, you will not understand God unless you understand our teaching. Even after that, you have to experience God directly by yourself. Go ahead, Parrot.
That's what I'm mentioning.
No, my mission is to unify all the religions of the world, bring the last revelation from God, open the seven seals, open the book, sealed with the seven seals, and guide humanity to become unified and create the communities of light, create the kingdom of heaven on earth, so you can meditate and you can experience God directly. That is the mission of Maitreya. That's why we are here. The only thing, we can show you the way. You are the person who walks it. Okay? If you don't walk it, you will not reap the benefit. So, that is why the mission of Maitreya is not dogmatic. Teaching is a path. It is not a religion in the sense of a religion which teach you a bunch of dogmas. It is a path, eternal divine path that I just explained in the beginning of the satsang or of this teaching, that if you follow the eternal divine path, then you will benefit, you will reap the benefit. If you do not, you will not. And the goal is to create the environment that you can meditate and realize God directly by yourself. Go ahead, inner man.
I'd like to ask you, you spoke of Jesus as if He was just a prophet, as other men were prophets. I'm asking you directly in relationship to who you believe Jesus is. I don't understand you called Him Esau, but do you believe that He was God? Do you believe He was the Father in the flesh? And if not, can you be a little bit more specific? And I have a second follow-up question in regards to the seven seal and who it is that can open those. I'm assuming that you have led people to believe that you're the one who has opened the seven seals. And I'd like to ask you a follow-up question in reference to that, in reference to his identity and your identity. I'll be back in a moment to ask that question. Or Esau, as you call him.
Okay, it has been explained many times here what was the relationship between Christ and God, and how he was the Son of God, and who he is, and also Messiah, and we can see that Christ, in one time, he says, me and the Father are one, no one can go to the Father but through me. And in another place, we can see that somebody comes and tells him, good rabbi, and he says, why call me good? Only good is God. Then you should wonder what happened. You know, in one place you say that me and the Father are one and no one goes to the Father but through me. And another place he says he's not even good. You know, what happened? If he is always God and God is with him, why there is that separation that God is good, that I am not good? So we can see that the explanation is simple. Whenever God's Spirit was on Christ, whenever he would come through and Christ was a channel for God, he and the Father are one. And that's when he is adamant that no one goes through to the Father but through him. It's the same thing from every prophet. Moses, he usually, you know, is a regular man and walk around and take care of the business of the tribe of Israel, but suddenly he comes up and yells at the Israelites, oh Israel, listen to me. You know, you should do that and should, just as God is talking through him and they are one. Same thing with the prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad comes and is a regular person living like a regular life, and suddenly when he goes to the mosque and starts preaching the word of God, God comes through and reveals Quran, which is the word of God. He and the Father are one, and no one goes to the Father but through him, and he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is the Spirit of God on earth. So did Bob and many other prophets do the same thing. The problem is that you listen to Paul and the portion of Acts. The only place in the Bible and accepted in the Mishnah Maitreya is the red words of Christ himself in the four Gospels. We do not believe Paul was the mouthpiece of Christ. I'm not saying he didn't have some truth. He had some truth, but he is not the mouthpiece of God, of Christ. And also, Christ himself said, the disciple is never greater than the master. How come most of Christians follow mostly Paul instead of following the word of Christ himself, which Christ himself said, you know, the master is greater than the any disciple. So you are following, you know, not the master himself, but the people that were disciples. So there are a lot of things, you know, you have to realize and understand about our teaching, and then you will have greater understanding of what we are talking about here. So again, as other people directed you in a man, go to the mission, website, read our teachings, understand what we are talking about, then come here and we can discuss this thing. Otherwise, you are going to throw at us your Christian dogma, which we already know about. Okay, we know about Christianity, we know about Islam, we know about Hinduism, we know about Buddhism, we know about Judaism, we know about Baha'ism, we know all your religions, we know your dogmas, we know your philosophy, we know your understanding. It is up to you, and now it is the time for you to realize the last revelation of God, understand what our teaching is, and then if you want to discuss it with us, great, come here and let us discuss it. Go ahead, Luis.
Yes, in Hebrew, they call Jesus Yeshua. Because I know there's not a J in Hebrew, but anyway, then I just wanted to ask you, are you uniting all the religions of the world? And if so, just know that in the Bible it predicts that there will be a son of perdition or Antichrist will unite all the religions of the world.
And tell us where in the Bible says that.
You studied the Bible, you said you studied every religion, don't you know where that's at?
No, I don't. I'm asking you, where does it say?
It's in there. I can't tell you exactly, but I know it's in there. I've read it myself.
Well, that's what I'm asking you, because I know the Bible, and there is not such a thing in the Bible, okay? It doesn't say anything that actually the Bible says, you know, the elect will come, and they will bring the kingdom of God on earth. What's that mean? It means they're not going to unify everybody, bring the kingdom of God on earth? It means that they will unify humanity and under one God, one humanity, okay, and one earth. Alright? That is, again, your dogma, your preacher told you that, you even don't know where it is. Okay? And then you just repeat it like a parrot that, you know, this is what the petition is going to do. It's not going to do that. You know, the Antichrist has been on earth all along. That is the Maya. That is the attraction to this external world and all these intellectualized religions that you guys all believe in it, which is all wrong and never take you to God. And now the path has come to you to take you to God, just like what they did to Christ and Muhammad and everybody else who brought the truth to them. You know, they attacked them, they stoned them, they killed them, and then they changed their teaching to whatever they want to do. That's why God created this internet, so I can say these things. You guys have no choice. Either listen or leave. Okay? And there is no such a thing in the Bible. Actually, the Bible predicts God will unify humanity. God will bring the truth into man, and He will bring His kingdom on earth, and the bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, the path and the way is given, and our mission is the way. There is no other way. And we are not Antichrist. Antichrist is Maya, is the attraction of the external world. It's the wrong teachings and dogmas that many people follow. Go ahead, Paris.
You are also becoming automatically unexplained. So, if the vision is an unexplainable thing, is explaining about unexplainable things.
It's the mission of
God. What else is your mission?
Okay, well, I didn't say mission is unexplainable. I just tell you that the mission's mission is to help you to realize the unexplainable. That is why there is an eternal divine path which shatters all narrowness of the mind and frees you from attachment of your words and which is karma yoga, which is you do the job and you give the, you know, result to God. And also, you know, it teaches you to sacrifice, not to be self-centered, no, not to be egoistical, and create the communities of life. This is the basis of the kingdom of heaven on earth, which will create an environment that teaches you from very childhood to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, realize God, realize, you know, creation, and eventually become connected to God. And that is where the goal is. Actually, the goal is to realize God with the direct experience. So when you have that, then I don't have it explained to you. I didn't say the goal of the mission is to explain God. I never said that, did I? Did I say that the goal of the mission is explain God? No, we do not explain God. We try to. We try to explain Him as much as we could, but it's impossible to explain inexplainable with the words. And that's why the mission shows the path to that realization, the creation of the communities of life, bringing kingdom of earth, unification, and creating an environment that helps you to realize God yourself. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yes,
what I was getting at, you said that it's something that I am in complete agreement with, is after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the rest was written by Paul.
Yeah, well, actually, this part of our teaching, it is every religion has been influenced by man, and they have brought a lot of dogmas and pagan teachings into God's teaching, and no religion is completely, you know, immune from this phenomena. And you're absolutely right, the teaching of Christ are only those red dotted part of the four Gospels, and even Gospel itself was written 170 years after Christ, and God knows what else have been added to it, and of course the parts that has been explained in though, they are pure, and the explanations are very purely explained what they Christ meant in those words, and you know, I usually go ahead and I give the example of the game, it's called telephony. If you have 10, 15 people and you say a word in the first person and then second and third, but the time it comes to the 15th person or the 10th person, the wording is absolutely different than what it was in the beginning. So it's not only Bible has been influenced, it's been influenced greatly by teaching that was before it was accepted in Rome, and many things is been explained, though how it's been influenced by Roman culture, and also Rome accepted Christ or Christianity and became the country's religion. It kept a lot of the previous, you know, things that they were following. So, and also as Christ said, you know, Paul could not be as great as he was. He was the Messiah. He was sent by God. He had the message for humanity. Also, if you read our teachings, God promised both Isaac and Ishmael to that a prophet or a scepter will come from them. And if even Christians accept that and realize and see that God promised both to Ishmael and Isaac a prophet, then they have no choice but say, okay, Christ was one of them. The next had to be Prophet Muhammad, because, okay, he also gave that promise to Ishmael, and therefore, you know, they will accept Prophet Muhammad at least, prophet come after Christ. So, again, our book is the eye-opening. The holiest of the holiest is the explanation of the, you know, all the religions, and it really opened your eye of the truth and the what God has been doing for humanity, and no other revelation ever has been written down, published, put in internet, and try to keep it pure. Even my disciples, when they want to answer some people, I ask them to check with me. Okay, because I have seen how these things change in the course of time, and how, you know, even disciples love to, you know, change my word, you know, and prophet's word. I love them, they're great people, but at the same time, I sometimes have to be very, very careful, you know, what they say. Even a couple of weeks ago, one of my disciples, you know, was saying thing in the internet wasn't completely my teaching, and also they made mistakes. I love them, they're great, but, you know, a disciple can't make mistakes. God is the first person who knows the truth. The second is the prophet who brings it. So he has the right to, you know, be very careful with it. Hopefully this teaching will stay as pure as possible, because it's already been written. It's already, you know, put in the internet, and we're trying to keep it as pure as possible. But it has happened through history that people do love to change the word of God. Go ahead, Parrot.
Your website, Maitreya.org, and then only words, and from images of the ancient young officer from Egypt. So you are also trying to explain the Mexican word with words. It is important, right?
Yeah.
How do you react if I tell that, you are trying to deceive people by trying to explain the unexplainable to the world. Are you deceiving people like this, or how do you react?
Okay, I react very calmly, and I say you are wrong, okay, and I say that, you know, you have your opinion, and if you find our teaching are deceiving, then go your way, okay, and don't come tell me that I'm deceiving people, and go your way and leave us to God, and we leave you to God. We are sure we are not deceiving anyone. Our teaching is based on God's word. Our teaching is backed up with the prophecies fulfilled. Our teaching is at the correct time, and the timing has come for coming of this teaching which humanity needed so badly. It is not an ego trip. It's not something I'm here. I'm not here to make money out of this. Actually, you know, I haven't taken one penny of the money comes to the mission, so it is not here to make money or an ego trip, and I have to tell you, you are absolutely wrong, and it is you have to prove it to yourself, which is, this teaching is correct, and the website and the prophecies are fulfilled, the seven seas is open, the religions are unified, and any other religion, person, teacher, on the earth is wrong, absolutely wrong to this point. Only person, only teaching is right, is the mission of Maitreya and our teaching. Everybody has to come here, read it, learn it, understand it, and don't judge us. We don't need your judgment. We believe in God and His judgment. So please stop judging. If you believe that I'm a charlatan, then keep it to yourself and go away, okay? And those who know me and understand the teaching know that I am not. So we do not accept whatever you gave us, and whatever somebody gives it to them and they do not accept, return to them right back. So don't send anything negative here. I'm not going to accept that. So all the negative you send me back to you. Go ahead, Carlos.
I wish to apologize. It was only just about 2 weeks ago that I stumbled across Maitreya group, and I have been asking a lot of questions, and I have been told that if I come Saturday morning that Maitreya would be here to speak personally, and I have come in this morning, and 5 or 6 times already I've been read about it, and I haven't even said a word yet. I believe that there is something happening. What it is, I'm not sure yet, and I am looking for answers in this group, but I kind of take a little bit of offense to the fact that I typed something in and it said, oh, what you typed is not, it's a red dotted by the room, and you haven't even seen what I typed yet. Oh, to keep order in the room is okay. And I don't think I am getting out of order. If I get out of order, please tell me I am doing so, and I will do my best efforts to stop doing that. But I just feel kind of funny that I came in and that this is... I got to talk once before, now I'm talking again, but everything I type in the room doesn't get typed in the room.
Okay, Carlos, don't take red dotting personally. The reason everybody is red dotted are the people who are red dotted are the people who are new to the mission and we don't know them, and it has happened before. Some people just walk into the mission and grab the microphone and they start yelling and cursing and saying bad things that they are not allowed in this room, or they type things that, you know, it's not according to that. That type place is reserved for the people who are supporting my satsang, and they actually explain what I say. If you also type, it's going to become very confusing. That is why everybody's microphone and typing is taken away from them. You know, don't take it personally. It is for everybody who's new to the room, you know, and you don't know them. That is what's going to happen to them. If you prove yourself that you are part of the mission, you know, and you are a good person and you are not destructive, you will not be retarded. So please don't type there if it's not about the mission. And don't take it personally. You know, if you have a question, go to the microphone. The microphone is open to everyone and you will be given a chance to talk. So please don't take it personally. That is why we have done it. It is for the order, for keeping the room pure and on topic. Go ahead, Parrot.
The question that I asked is because of your sentence that you said it is impossible to explain the unexplainable with the words. And since you did not have any answer for my question, and you laughed, and you think that is correct, please explain that one, because one cannot explain the unexplainable with the words. What is the use of the website www.maitreya.org/online? Please.
I'm not laughing at you, okay? I'm laughing at the words, a personal, judgmental way of saying somebody you are a charlatan before even knowing him or understanding their teaching, and coming here and accusing of the people that they are not, you know, what you say, okay? The laughing is for that reason. It is so amazing to us, at least to me, that you come here and have the, you know, that kind of a mentality that come in and judge us and tell me I'm a charlatan. And I'm explaining to you, it's the third time I'm telling you, this is the last time I'm telling you. The mission is not here to explain God. God cannot be explained. The only way you can explain it is through a personal, direct experience. The mission is to fulfill the prophecy, unify the humanity, bring the kingdom, so you can meditate and realize God, so you know what all these explanations mean. Before that, all those explanations as an intellectual understanding, it might help you toward realizing God, but ultimate realization is personal, direct relationship with God. So, understand what I'm saying. If you keep repeating yourself, then I might just say, oh, just forget that, I'm not going to answer that anymore. So don't let, you know, your personal feeling come into, you know, it was not laughing at you, laughing at, you know, you are so wrong. That's just laughable. That's what it was. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, Mr. Yao. I am with a friend of mine here in Quebec. Her name is Louise, and she wants to learn more about the path. She wants to hear more about the path to the realization of God, please.
All right, the path is called Eternal Divine Path. The reason it's called eternal, because it is called at eternity. It's divine because it leads to divinity, and path because it is a path, it's a way. A way means it's going to take you somewhere. If you sit here and if the way is a bridge between this world and the spiritual world, and I am in the beginning of the bridge and say, look, this is the bridge take you to the, you know, spiritual world, and you say, wow, such a beautiful eye you have, such a tall person you are also, hey, your head is great, you say beautiful thing, and I love what you say, and you are the Son of God, but I cannot be the Son of God, you are Christ and this and that, you're going to get so wrapped up in me that you're never going to, you know, pass over the bridge to other side. And that's what all the other religions and prophets has to come to their followers. They are so wrapped up in the prophet that they forgot what the message was. You know, so the message here is the eternal divine path. I am here to show you eternal divine path, which is the salvation of the humanity, physically, mentally, spiritually, individually and collectively. Eternal divine path, simply put, is awakening of your spiritual forces, which is related to any technique or the way that has been given in many mystical paths. This is include Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystical Christianity, Sufis, and many other teaching that basically says, know thyself. To know thyself is to know God. Atman, with a small e, same as Atman, as God. You and God are one. There is no separation. The reason you feel separated is because of your ego you're having over your head, and you separate yourself from God. So some religions say that is the end of it. If you realize you and God are one, then you have reached the goal. But in our teaching, God says, no, no, that is the beginning of the journey. That is when you direct your energy toward the creation of the communities of light. Communities of light are the communities based on the eternal divine path, which in the beginning, the first step was to awaken our spiritual forces, creation of the communities of light, which is related to the Old Testament. You know, in Old Testament, God is trying to find a people who call the children of Israel or the children of light to create the third tribe of Israel. The tribe really means a community. And he wanted them to accept God as their king and the ruler, so because he rules is good for humanity, he's a good man. He knows man, he created man, so he knows himself, so therefore he knows man. And therefore he said, this is the laws, if you follow, you will reach me. And of course, in that time the consciousness was low, and most of the thing was symbolically given to them as sacrificing, you know, animals and all that. Actually, that was pretty good, you know, with the, before that, because they used to sacrifice human. That's why sacrificing Isaac was so, is not such a big thing for Abraham, because everybody was sacrificing human. And then God said, no, 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 that is finished. You don't have to sacrifice human now. Now it is time to sacrifice, you know, animals. You know, so he changed the theme of sacrificing human, sacrificing animals. But anyway, that is beyond the point. The point is that the Old Testament is based on the promise of light, and God is trying to create or choose a people that who follow God's teaching. Of course, as Jacob prophesied, after the Shiloh or the Messiah comes, you know, that's going to be finished and done, and that's what Christ did. And the Christ finished that prophecy and period. But in order to create a community of life, what do we have to do? Is anybody in the community that says, what is it in for me, what is it in for me? Do you think that community is going to prosper? Do you think that community is going to become a community of life? No, it doesn't. Okay, the next step is to sacrifice. Sacrifice means not to be self-centered. It means to be community-centered. Try to create, to stay in the community, try to help the community, try to be in the community, try to, you know, not to be self-centered, but not what is it in me, for me alone, but what is it in the community. That is what Christ came to set for humanity. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. He went all the way to the cross for what? For his ideal. He sacrificed himself for his, for fellow man, for humanity. He released the grace. Actually, he was the sacrificial lamb, which finished even sacrificing animals anymore, but sacrificing the ego. All those sacrifice really was the symbol of sacrificing ego. Therefore, you know, he finished even sacrificing animal anymore, so you don't need to sacrifice lamb and all that, because Christ died for that reason, to stop all that. So we can see that symbol of the Christianity or Christ is sacrificed. But now you are sacrificing a lot for the community. Nothing happened. No community is for nobody. Join is nobody. You know, create community. What happened? You become depressed. You say, oh, look at this. I'm doing all these things, nothing happened, and you become depressed. And then if you do all the sacrifice and the communities are happening, you say, wow, look at that. Me created this community, and we can see most of the people who succeed to create communities or religious sects or order, they become so egoistical. We can see the example, like in some of these preachers, you know, they call, they're pointing with prostitutes or, you know, this, and because they say, oh, I'm so invincible, I'm a person that I'm so great, nobody can touch me anymore. And that is when they fall calm. So the next step is surrendering and submission to God. Surrendering means, I do my best, I do the greatest sacrifice I can, but I'm not going to be attached to the result. I'm doing all these things for God. Okay, I'm not doing it for myself. Therefore, I surrender the result to God and say, okay, I did all this thing, result is yours, God. I'm just going to go to the next project. I'm not going to sit here and wait to see if the result can come up or not. I'm going to just do it and leave it and go on, and whatever happens is up to God. And even greater than surrendering, of course, is the submission. That you realize, really, you are, you know, if you and God are one, let God do it through you. Does God do perfect job? Yes, He does. He's perfect. Therefore, you will do perfect. If you're not doing perfect, then you have to sit back and say, what am I doing wrong? Maybe I'm not letting all God come through. Okay, maybe my ego is still there that prevents me from doing a perfect job. So if you let God come through, you will be perfect and you will do the perfect job, and you're not going to be attached to the result because God is doing it through you. With that, you overcome the attachment to the result of your actions, and that frees you to go ahead and go to many projects. Now, in this, of course, surrendering and submission is the message of Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, which means surrendering and submission to God. It means surrendering and submission to God. And therefore, if you are not attached to the result of your action, you are free. Now, you might, you know, just say, oh, I only help only if you are a Muslim, okay, or a Jew, or a Buddhist, or Hindu, or if you are, you know, South American, or Peruvian, or this or that. If you are narrowing yourself to a very small portion of the universe, still you are separating God from God, and that narrowness of the period prejudicity, period separation, create suffering that we can be experiencing right now on earth, because everybody is separate from everybody else and only our interest is more important, and that is when the suffering starts. And that is where the universalism comes in, and you reach a point, you say, the whole universe is my home, God is my father and mother, and I have no gender because I'm both male and female, because God is male and female, and therefore you are free from any narrowness of the mind, and you shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and you are free. This is the five steps of the eternal divine path. Awakening of the spiritual forces, this is the mystical path. Creation of the commons of life, Old Testament. Sacrifice, New Testament. Surrender and submission to God, Islam. And become universalist, Baha'i teaching. If you follow these five steps and you really become it, as I said, this is a path. Okay, either you follow it or you don't. If you follow it, you will get the benefit. If you don't, even I can't help you. Even God can't help you. Okay, it's giving it to you. God says, that's what you have to do. Of course, if God's grace with you, you will follow it. Okay, if God's grace, of course, makes everything possible. So, if you follow this five step, you go to the secret step, we call Paralipras, or the elect. That all the religions of the world talking about the elects. Elects are the people that God chooses them as His children, as His sons and daughters, and they accept God as their father and mother, and their king, and we follow His laws, which is the dharma of everything, the innate nature of everything. You follow the innate nature. What is the innate nature of this computer? The innate nature of the computer is to let me talk to God. If it doesn't do it, you know, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to throw it in the garbage. It's going to go to hell. That's how it's going to work. So the elect are the people who follow the eternal divine path, create the comes of life, and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and create an environment. This empower, that is a good place for you to heal. They create an environment that the people awaken the spiritual forces and eventually return to God and experience the unexplainable. We are not here to explain the unexplainable. We are here to create an environment that every individual go to the place that they can experience the unexplainable. Even then, They're not going to stay there. God's going to send them back to the comings of life, to earth, to humanity, to our teaching, to help even more people to go there. Harold, go ahead.
So, you said your mission is not to explain the unexplainable. That means you have nothing to do with God. You are the website, right? That's what I understood. And you said,
You are the website.
Has some kind of meaningful words. But you said it is impossible to explain the unexplainable. So, I think there is no point in staying here or reading your books. So I am leaving. Hope you remember your our daughter days in India.
Good.
Bye, Lord. Thank you.
Well, I did not get all the words you said, but it's your choice. If you want to leave, you know, we wish you good luck and leave you to God. And but we are telling you, this is the greatest revelation ever come to humanity. And you, if you miss it, you miss it. Okay. And but I'm not going to insist on it. It's up to you to prove it yourself. And go ahead, Carlos.
Yes, I thank you, Maitreya. I didn't realize that it was you that was using the name Joseph on me. What he has just said, he said, if you don't wish to explain something now, I myself have been studying the Urantia book for 15 years, and much of the book says there are things we cannot explain to you. Humankind is not ready for the explanation. So you have to wait and grow a little more so you can understand what the explanations are. You wouldn't understand them if we told you right now. And I am kind of wondering, Maitreya, when I heard your name, is it kind of a different pronunciation of the name Nikola, which I believe is a Greek pronunciation of a man who lived in Iran approximately at the same time as Jesus. And I have been told that it is. I'm asking you personally, though, is it a pronunciation of Mitra?
Yeah, well, you are correct on the things that are not explainable, and even if sometimes you explain the unexplainable, if you have not experienced it, doesn't make any difference because, you know, even you might even get more confused because, you know, unexplainable can be very confusing. Anyway, and about the name Maitreya, there are many, many theories about where the name came from, and one of them is that Zoroastrian religion predicted coming of a savior of the world, that he will be born from a virgin and he will save the world. And that you can see the similarity between that saying and the teaching of the Christianity, and the Christ was born from the virgin and he is the savior of the world. And we know that Mithraism became very powerful, you know, sect all over the world in the time of the Roman Empire, and actually some people believe that if Christianity had not come to the West and take over, actually West would be a Mitra follower. And of course when the Christ came, as I said, also they accepted Christ, they choose to follow a lot of, you know, even the timing of the day and the weekly names and the and most of the feasts and holidays that we have, it's all were, you know, in place even before the Christianity came in the Roman Empire, and they continued those without changing to the way that the Jewish people, you know, had it, because Christ was a Jew after all. So we can see that there's a lot of influence which is in there. One theory is that also Mithraism spread to the north, to the west of Iran, in India and China, and in that time, Buddhists, of course, became very strong religions in that area, and they also realized that probably their teaching is not going to unify all of humanity, their teaching is not going to be, you know, the one that is going to do it. They liked the idea of the Savior and coming of Mithra, and they incorporated the idea to their religion. That's, of course, intellectual explanation. Other explanation is Buddha did prophesy that Maitreya will come 2,500 years after his dispensation. And that's exactly where we are at. We are exactly 2,500 years after the Buddha, and in the teaching of Zoroastrian, of course, he predicts that that such a person is going to come around 1200 years after the prophet of the Muslim of Arabs, and of course, again, this is the time for coming, or 1200 years after the Islam, you know, came to humanity. So we can see many ways to look at it, but I don't know about the person we're talking about came at the same time as Christ came in Iran, and I've never heard that before. I know that Mithra was the savior that the Russian religion has predicted to come at the end time, and he is the savior of the world. So you can go ahead and explain a little bit about that person. I've never heard that before. Go ahead, Carlos.
On a room, and they were asking about your teaching. They were talking about your teaching, and I found them to be have some similarity to something that I had been studying. I've been studying for almost 20 years about the same thing. And I'm wondering, could you give me an answer on this? Have you ever read the
Urantia
book?
Yeah, I have looked at the book. I did not read the whole thing, and I find it a little cumbersome, you know, for my test. I felt, I saw there's a lot of hierarchy between hierarchies over hierarchy, and I don't believe in hierarchies. I believe that every man can go to God directly. You don't need the hierarchy in heaven to help you out. So I have to say I don't know everything about the book, you know, but I did look through it, and actually we had the book for a while. I don't know what happened to it. I don't think we have them anymore, but we did have them in our library. We have a library here which has the book almost of every religion, and so to answer your question, no, I have not read the whole book, but the part that I looked at, you know, it seems to me, you know, there's too many hierarchies. You can go ahead and explain it to me if that is true or not.
Well, the teachings of the book are very down to earth, and they teach of the order of Melchizedek, which was the original priesthood. You can see that I cite that in text. And in the Bible, it is mentioned in Genesis 14, verse 18, and it is also mentioned in the end of Hebrews chapter 7 and in chapter 8 for a further explanation of what the priesthood is. But no, I am a priest of the order of Melchizedek, and I speak of truth within the world. And I hear you telling truth. If I heard you telling lies, I would leave the room. So I am staying. For the moment, I haven't heard you telling me lies.
That's interesting, because the word Melchizedek has been only repeated in the whole Bible 2-3 times. It's not been repeated many times, and God never really said, you know, that, you know, you should follow Melchizedek. Actually, in the Genesis, when you look at the incident happened, it was about Abraham brought the spoil that he received from the war he had, and he came, and the way actually sounded like Abraham giving some to the priest, He is doing it with a grudge. He's not really, you know, happy about giving them the part of the portion. And if a Melchizedek was really the, you know, original priest, why he was, you know, grudgeful about, you know, giving his portion to him? And so I always felt that, you know, it's that Abraham was greater than Melchizedek. He was a prophet of God and chosen by God. And Melchizedek actually was taking advantage of him, you know, taking the money and things from him. But of course, Paul says that he is, you know, he is the first priest and all that. And again, if you agree with me that you did, that Paul wasn't the most reliable source to go to, you know, you have to really think very carefully about your choice of Melchizedek as the priest or the first priest of God. I think the first priest of God was the first begotten Son of God, or was Christ, and he came as the Messiah again and again, and that's how God works. And you, if you are a real seeker, you have to really look into the order of Melchizedek in a deeper level and see if it's really the word of God that Melchizedek was a first priest, or the word of God say differently. So, I know you're saying you're the priest of Melchizedek, but see if really Melchizedek is the person you want to be priest of, or God's word are a little different than what you think it is. I know it is very hard for the people who believe something come here, and I try to tell them that what they believe, you know, maybe need some examination, but believe me, I have your welfare in my mind. I'm not trying to put your beliefs down. I'm not trying to put anybody's beliefs down. When I received this teaching, it is so fantastic that I believe everybody should really examine whatever they have and compare with what we have here. Go ahead, Carlos.
I really do appreciate your concern that perhaps my teaching that I am studying, Week Some Examination, and I have been studying for many, many years to come to the conclusion that I have. And I have been talking to some of your group administrators over the last 2 weeks, and I have said, I would like to get to know you personally and have a very personal conversation at some time. Maybe over the internet, maybe over the telephone, maybe I can come to where you live or you can come to where I live. But I think that we have a combined destiny that if we put them together, we will build something that is very strong. I believe that my destiny is to tear down the Catholic Church and create a one world church for all people.
Well, Carlos, you can talk to me here in front of everybody. I have nothing to hide from anybody. Everybody, I'm an open book, and there is nothing secret here in this mission. Everything is open to everybody. So if you want to go ahead and bring the conversation here while we are here, that would be just fine, and we can discuss, you know, what's in your mind, and maybe you do have a mission, and you are absolutely correct. This is the revelation that ends all other revelations and will create a one world church or religion or teaching. And if you want to be part of it, and if it's been revealed to you that that's what you should do, I would be more than glad discussing it with you. But actually, go ahead.
So far, this is my first time to listen in to you. And I agree with what Carlos said, you know, that so far that you have spoke the truth. And earlier there was a lady that questioned, you know, about the Antichrist and the Son of Perdition. I wanted to ask you, you may have already said that you believe that Jesus came in the flesh and that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that what you believe?
Yes, we believe Christ came in the flesh, and that is He was the Messiah. He was the mouthpiece of God. He brought the revelation of the sacrifice in the eternal divine path. He was the third seal. If actually you study the teaching of Christ, there is a lot of three in them, 3 days into the belly of the world. What is it?
Three cockroaches.
Yeah.
Three falls.
He was tempted 3 times. And many things. Actually, one Feast of Tabernacle, everybody sat around the table and tried to find out how many trees Christ taught or symbol came with him. And there was many. They found what, around 16, 20 of them. So we can say the tree is very important in his mission. And he was the third seal. And I'm flattered that you see that I have some fruit here. That is the people in the mission. They know I cannot lie. And if I say something, you know, I probably mean it. And we appreciate that God has come to earth again and bring the truth to everybody. Okay, Carlos, go ahead.
Go ahead and tell you what it is I want to talk about. And I normally don't talk about it. I've been thinking about it for 30 years. And I normally keep it to myself. It involves the Catholic Church. Now, I was never brought up Catholic. I was brought up as a Protestant. But something I became aware of, and I would appreciate, Joseph, if you would type in a yes or no if you are aware of these things. There was a woman... And Joe 3:17, who saw a vision of the Virgin Mary at a place called Fatima in Portugal. Type in yes or no if you are aware of these things. I don't see anything typed yet. Okay. Anyway, two of the 3 children died within a year. The one whose name is Lucia dos Santos still lives on, and she wrote 3 messages to be given to the Pope of different ages. The first 2 messages were read in the 1940s. And she said that the 3rd message, the last message, would either be written at the time of her death or in 1960, whichever came first. Now, I have spent my whole life studying this.
Sorry, Carlos, I retarded you. I know what you're, I have heard that I've been told your ideas about that letter that they have not opened it and it's a secret and all that. Okay, I have to say my answer is already given to you. It is not important. It is not that important what is in this letter. If in this letter is that the destruction of the Catholic Church will come, so it will. It's not something to be concerned about. Here is the greater revelation have come to you that unifies all religions of the world, and Catholic Church eventually will fall apart because its time is done. It's up. Okay, as time of the Jewish people was up, as the time of the other people came up, and I don't know why you are so concerned and obsessed with this letter. Can you just forget it and read our teaching and come and let unify humanity instead? Go ahead if you have any follow up, but don't go through the story. I know the story.
It took a lot of research on my part, and I found out the date that 3rd letter was open. I don't care what the letter said, because by now, 42 years later, it is redundant and meaningless. But the letter that Pope John the 23rd opened on October 16th, 1960, he opened at the exact moment that I was being born. And that was my letter.
I don't know when to
get together and have a private conversation.
Okay, Carlos, you say you were born in that time that everybody, that letter was been opened. So has many other people, you know. That doesn't prove anything. Anyway, just totally go ahead.
Just kind of add to what I said earlier that, you know, the question of that lady, we are required by Scripture, you know, to test the Spirit and to see if there's any false prophet in the world because it was told that there would be some intervening in heaven. But, you know, when I asked you about, you know, Jesus is, you know, Son of God and became flesh, and in 1 John 4:15, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And, that's all I wanted to add, you know, that I felt that, you know, that what I know so far is that I feel like the teaching is true. I agree
with it. Thank you, Red Father, but actually, you know, that's interesting that there's other material that they believe that he built his body and all that, and they say that Maitreya overshadowed him. Okay, in a sense, they do not believe that Christ was the Son of God, and we do believe that, and that sentence is correct. If you believe that he was the Son of God, so you have a good grip of the reality of it. And we appreciate that you see the truth in this teaching. I hope you go to our website, read more, understand what we are teaching, and then, you know, if you decided that this is a last revelation of God, come and join us and put your, you know, talents into creation of the comings of light and the coming of the kingdom. Okay, Carlos, go ahead.
A very serious question for you, Maitreya. Are you the king of the coming kingdom? Is that what you are saying,
that
what you just said?
It's not up to me to prove it to you. It's up to you to prove it to yourself. If you can prove it to yourself, then who knows in your heart who I am. And if you do not prove it to yourself, it doesn't matter how much I tell you who I am. So it, really, the question is moot. Because, you know, it's everybody's, you know, individual level realization, you know, to see the prophecies, to see the teaching, to see fulfillment of God's revelation and upcoming of his teaching to humanity, and who can open the book sealed with the 7 seals and come to your own conclusion. If you concluded anything, fine, it is your conclusion, and if you didn't come to any conclusion, again, it is your prerogative. It is up to you, each individual, to go to our website, to read our teaching, to see the prophecy, to see the education of religion, see the Word of God, and if you see some truth in what I say, then what is in the website is also the truth. Go ahead, Carlos. But please be brief. Thank you.
I would ask you, please, give me an email address or something, and I can contact you directly, and we can converse without the other people hearing what we have to say.
Okay, Carlos, anything you have to say it here. That is where I, you know, discuss things. I don't discuss private things. Go ahead, Brother Frank.
Yes, my Lord and Fred. Okay. Praise be to God for you. Could you, sir, tell me something about your Persian roots? It's my understanding that you are a descendant of the Persian king, Shahrshah, Persian king. Do you know, can you share more about your roots with us?
Yes, Brother Frank. The revelation and the message was so great that I thought if anybody hear that, they say, wow, that's great. He is really is from God, because it makes sense. There's so much truth in there. And I was not really concerned about my life and where am I from, or the prophecies, or the my genealogy, or anything like that at all. Even the prophecies have been, you know, fine with other people. And brought to the mission, I said, hey, did you know that this and that is matches exactly, you know, you or this and that. So about my genealogy, the only thing I remember my parents. We're talking about that we are descendant of the Nadir Shah, And actually the reason, you know, well, they had a village in that province called Shahrazad in the province of Targhan, which is around two, three hours drive north of Tehran. And there was a very tall kind of a hill, and they said that actually they built that as a lookout place. That when you stayed there, you could see miles and miles of people, you know, coming close to the village or not. And that is one of the things that they have built, and that is what, you know, they had that places. And that's all I know about my genealogy. Now, if somebody wants to go and study, you know, my genealogy and say where I end up, you know, as I say, it is not any more important, because as we discussed it, in the time of Jacob, when he gave the prophecy of the kinship to Judah, he also said, until the Shiloh come. Okay? So they're trying to connect, you know, the other teachers after Christ to Judah, which is King David was from the tribe of Judah, is no longer necessary. You see, he said it. It's in the Bible, right in the chapter 49. I think it's verse 20 something. When he gives the kingship to Judah, he says, "Until the Shiloh, which means the Messiah, come." And their Messiah was Christ, and he was from the tribe of Judah. So, I personally, you know, not that interested in that part of the, you know, my life. But if somebody wants to go research, that would be fine. It is up to you guys, go ahead and do it. But that's all I know, that we are from, you know, the king Nadir, and that was also the word of mouth. You know, there is nothing written down or anybody researched it. So there's a possibility it might go all the way to Zoroaster or whatever, because we are in the north of Iran, and Zoroaster was from the north of Iran. So the possibility is there. But is that true or not? According to prophecy and word of God, that's not something that I really am emphasizing. Go ahead, Todd.
Okay, thanks. Well, I was wondering, kind of on the same line, if you had any Jewish roots, and I wanted to make a comment about, I thought it was really interesting, the vision that your mother had or dreamed when she was pregnant with you as a lion, and sitting on you, and that a lion was her son. And anyway, I wanted to know if you'd known of any Jewish roots, and I think it would be a good thing to check out your heritage, or you just said.
Yeah, go ahead, Kirk. It's fine with me. You can go ahead and research about that if you want, you know. But to me, the most important is the message. The most important is the word of God said that the kingdom will stay with Judah until the Shiloh come. Okay, so after Christ, Muhammad was not from King David. Muhammad was an Arab. Okay, he was from Ishmael. Okay, so if we look for the, you know, genealogy, then are we gonna reject Prophet Muhammad, or we say no, he was a, you know, prophet of God, and he brought the revelation of, you know, surrendering and submission. But you never know. Maybe God has a plan for somebody to go and look at my genealogy and say, okay, this is another proof. I don't need any proof. And those people who believe in me, they don't need proof either. But if you need the proof and you want to see, make it even, in my case, is stronger, great, you know. But I don't need any proof. I never need any proof, you know, because the revelation is so great and so wonderful that's good enough for me. But you go ahead if you want to do that. Okay, go ahead, Brother Frank.
Yes, thank you, Howard. I come from a religion that requires me to prove all things.
Amen.
Yet I know in my heart that you are that same spirit that I see, read found in my Lord Jesus, that same spirit that I see in Muhammad, in Bhagavad Gita.